Hello and welcome to The Progress Theory, where we discuss scientific principles for optimizing human performance. I am Dr. Phil Price, and on today's episode, we are joined by hybrid athlete and S&C coach, Ollie Russell. Now, I'm a massive advocate for having skin in the game, and sometimes the best way to learn about hybrid training is to do as many physical challenges as possible. And that's why I have Ollie on the show with me today, because he talks about his journey going from being part of the Leicester Tigers Rugby Academy to doing various different physical challenges like High Rocks and Ironmans, which has ultimately led him to being one of the best hybrid athletes in the country. As always, follow The Progress Theory on Instagram, YouTube, and check out all of our other content. Here is Ollie Russell. Are you a hybrid athlete who wants to learn more about how to combine your strength and endurance training? Well, I've written a new book, The Science of Hybrid Training. In this book, I provide insight into the misconceptions surrounding strength and endurance training by distilling the past 50 years of research and drawing on the conversations I had with great scientists, coaches, and athletes on the Progress Theory podcast. This book is essential reading for hybrid athletes and coaches who are looking to understand the key training variables and their effect on the simultaneous development of strength and endurance performance. Get your copy now, available to buy from Amazon. Now, let's get into the show. Ollie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Not a problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. And because I saw an Instagram post the other day where you were kind of introducing yourself, but you showed your story of where you started and how you've developed through, I guess, the hybrid community, because you've done so many different things. And I think everyone has that type of story. And we were speaking just before we started recording about how experiences really shape your opinion on hybrid training. So I think this is going to be a great episode. I'm really looking forward to hear your journey from where you started to where you are now.
Yeah, mate, looking forward to it. And appreciate it. I've been listening to these and been reading bits and bobs of your book and other people who've sort of like spoken a lot about hybrid training. And if I can offer any of my sort of experiences, yeah, looking forward to it.
Do you want to tell a little bit about yourself and then we can really get into that journey?
Yes. So I do have a tendency to ramble on, so I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So, I mean, we'll go back to school. Back over at school, I was not the academic person at all. I just wanted to play every single sport. I had all the colours all up and down on my blazers, from rugby, athletics, basketball, tennis, like you name it, I just did it. And I was never the best or the most elite at one. I just liked doing all of them. As you start to enjoy one of the sports more than the others, you kind of go, okay, now I've got to make a bit of a decision. And it started to go down into athletics and rugby. And with the athletic side of things, I did multi-eventing. So you've got the decathlon, where obviously, you know, you've got the grown men doing the 10 events at my age that I was doing it. I was doing 5 events, which was hurdles, long jump, high jump, shot put, and 800 meters. And like I said, I was never the best at doing just the one. I was just okay at doing all of them. So I used to gather quite a lot of points coming like in the top 5 in those events. So I used to end up finishing like first in West Midlands. I went to English schools and just missed out on the international, which I was gutted about. But yeah, it was a cool experience doing that. But then I actually went more down the rugby route because that was something that me and my dad did a lot together. He was like my coach, and went and played academy level, played for Warwickshire, captained Warwickshire. And then I ended up playing over at Leicester Tigers for a couple years on academy contract and absolutely loved it. I was like, I'm living the professional athletic dream. This is what I've always wanted. It's such a tough sport to go and like be the number one player in, because there's so many lads that want to do it. And I think I just started to find out, like, I don't think I'm going to make it in this sport. I was like on the cusp, but I was like, no, I'm not going to make it. So I had to be completely true and like honest to myself. But I loved the gym. I absolutely loved the gym. I was always asking questions about it. I just hated all the academic side of things. I was a BTEC student in most things back at school, and I didn't want to do A-levels, didn't want to do any of that. And now it kind of turned full circle, because now, what, we're 7 years on from when I was over at Leicester, and I just want to know everything about sport and exercise science. I've not gone down the university route. I've not gone any of that kind of stuff. I've just done private courses and reading books and just trying to learn from people like yourself. So So yeah, after I stopped playing rugby, I then came away from it, was a bit lost with, oh, not too sure where to go here, but I know I enjoyed fitness. I spoke to a gym and I started working on the gym floor as a PT, just with the general population. I started being a bit more interested in like the sports side of things. So moms and dads would bring their kids in who were wanting to go play rugby to a good level or wanting to go do athletics. I was like, ah, I've had this experience. Like, yes, I can help you. I know the kind of the system and the processes of it and the kind of things that I did. So I really enjoyed that. I ended up scrolling through Netflix the one time and saw the Rich Froning documentary on Netflix. And I was thinking, fittest man on earth. And I was like, locked in straight away. I want to do that. What on earth is it? This CrossFit thing. And since then, I've just been on this fitness journey of doing CrossFit. HYROX came about, got into the HYROX. I was always probably a bit more better at my own athletic stuff with like the grunt side of things. So I wasn't the heaviest lifter. I wasn't the fastest runner. Like I was saying earlier, I was a bit of that multi-eventer. So I just took my hand at the HYROX, got into that and just really enjoyed the endurance side of things as well. Went and done Ironmans, half, full distance. I know you had Chris King on one of your episodes. I did his Highland Ultra with a bunch of my clients. I've kind of shaped up my own athletic stuff into the kind of people I coach as well.
That's a wicked story. There's so much experience and such a broad range of experience. And I think that's so important. I know you mentioned about you didn't go down the university route, but everything you just described regarding finding out as much as possible and something you're passionate about, and then just working with so many different people, gen pop, kids within sport, outside of sport, that's the best way of learning. And on top of that, you've got such a history of working and competing in so many different sports. So you've got such a good, rich experience to apply into so many different areas. Like, that's wicked. I'm really jealous. I'm really jealous of that like development. I wish I had that.
I don't know. I just really enjoyed doing everything. And I've spoken a lot to my coach right now, who we were chatting about earlier, a guy called Dan Reeve, who's like hybrid OG legend. And he's done some incredible things, played high level football, done crazy ultra challenges. God knows how many marathons he's done the Decker Ironman. He's done strongman competing. He's an incredible coach and he's done it to an elite level. But the way he's gone and done it was he focused on one area and did that for like a few years before then going into another area. Mm-hmm. I think a common thing that happens with me, I don't think it's boredom. I just think I just enjoy doing a lot of things at the same time. So we're all talking about hybrid at the minute. And we were saying you can do hybrid in your own way. I like doing it all together at the same time. For me, I'm like, I'm enjoying this, so I'm going to go and do it this way.
Yeah, it's interesting the different approaches, isn't it? Because one, you've got all in on one side of the continuum, and then I'm going to go and move my training to the other side of the continuum, and you try and utilize the stuff that you developed physically, the one before, to try and at least provide support for the next one. Or what you prefer is more of the, I guess, hybrid slash or microdosing approach. And there's this argument about which one could be better. The research around it isn't exactly great, I don't think, but I'd argue that using like a hybrid approach where you are becoming, I guess it's more of a microdosing approach, the progress is slower, but because it's slower and if you manage it well, long term, I think you could surpass the other way. And I think I'd get a lot of people not complaining, but I think I'd have a few people saying, I disagree with that. I think this, that, and the other. So ultimately, I think it's really cool that we're getting people with so many different experiences and different opinions. And that's how this industry and this area grows. So yeah, we're probably quite similar in terms of how we would prefer to train. Maybe it's because we prefer to train that way. That is probably the best way for us. So yeah, it's interesting to hear different ways of doing it.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember actually seeing a post of yours. This was while I was doing quite heavy CrossFit training. And you spoke about like the differences between concurrent training and hybrid training. How you worded it, I don't know if you remember posting this, but you worded it in a way of concurrent training style was to train, obviously, all these multiple stimuluses, but to go and benefit in one of the areas. So you're using, let's say, the strength training to benefit your running. capacity. But then with the hybrid training, you explained it in a way of trying to elevate your performance in both at the same time, whether it's microdosing and you do little bits of everything. I think you can improve at doing everything at the same time. You've just got to probably be clever with how you go through your macro cycle, with even when it comes down to your nutrition, how you're recovering, your sleep patterns, like absolutely everything. I think that's what's really cool and interesting, because it's, I don't feel like it's a topic that's really looked at as much as people think. I think people kind of talk about it a lot, and I don't think there's many people actually experiencing it.
No, I can understand that. I feel they're very different, and I guess that's why I made that post, because they're so similar. Yet your approach to both of concurrent or hybrid is going to be very different. So I think it's always good to sort of make that distinction, because if you do that first, that will be able to help with how you program for it, if you know what I mean. When you were training for something like the Beyond the Ultimate Highland Ultra, a big event which leans very heavily on the endurance side, did you then lean towards more preparing for just that event, or did you kind of maintain that very hybrid style leading up to it?
So just before that event, I had so many events in the diary, and I'm this kind of person who I do sign up to things sometimes and go, oh, actually, as I'm getting a bit close to this, can this be done? But I've always ended up being able to do it, and maybe not winning and like getting into the top three, but I've gone and completed it and I've had a great experience doing it. So I just finished doing the Ironman over in New Zealand in a place called Lake Taupo, which was just this incredible experience. And I was thinking, right, I've got, I think it was about a month and a half to 2 months before I was flying back home to then go into the Highland Ultra. And it was my first full distance Ironman. After the Ironman I did, I was thinking, I'm going to be battered for weeks. Within 2 days, I've had no DOMS, my legs were fine, the body was good. And I was thinking, this is absolutely bonkers. Like, I usually would be in a complete hole or a mess. But I was like, okay, just see what happens, go out on a run. And I just straight away, I started running back-to-back half marathons within a week. I would have like, I'd do like three back-to-back half marathons, have a day off, and then do another three. And I was away traveling, so it was quite hard to go pick up weights in a gym and stuff like that, because I wasn't exactly looking to go and do gym training. So I was thinking, right, priority for now is just make sure you've got the running under your belt. So when you go back home, and literally back home within a week, I was up to Scotland with my clients for the Highland Ultra. While they were training in the winter time, I was training in the summer over there. So I was making them all jealous, sending loads of photos and videos. But the weather was probably the thing that they'd been training for. I've just been in this hot weather the whole time. To your question on trying to keep up the strength training alongside it, I don't actually feel like I lost much strength towards it, because I felt like I've done so much strength in the past that it kind of sailed me through, even though I didn't touch many things for, I probably wasn't in a gym for 2 months, but I'd occasionally pick up a log and just do some heavy squats with it. We'd be on a beach and I'd be like, cool, chuck this on my back, and just would do a bit randomly, 15, 30 minutes. And I was actually quite nervous going to the Highlands. I did think, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. Day one, I finished fifth, and there were some really good runners there. And I was thinking, oh, I'm feeling really good. And then I woke up on day two, and we're about halfway through, and my knee started really giving me some jip. And I was thinking, this is where it's going to get me. This is where I'm not going to complete this, and having all these kind of thoughts and feelings. And then all it needed for me to crack on was one of my clients, a lady called Susie, who actually was the second finishing female in the full race. She literally just came up, slapped me on the ass, and just said, "Are you all right, Al?" I was in the mindset of just get to the next checkpoint. I'm going to pull out. Like, I was honestly like, I'm not doing this. But then it just took for her to slap me on the ass, and I was thinking, I can't let these guys down. And it's crazy how much strength you can get from just changing your perspective and mindset of what's happening in that moment. So I probably didn't do the best training towards it, but I managed to complete it. And it was one hell of an experience.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment around you not losing much strength despite being, you know, doing a lot of endurance work and not really entering a gym for like 2 months. That really got me thinking, because I don't think There is much long-term research on this, though I may be wrong and missed it. But I wonder if your very hybrid approach meant that you were able to maintain strength for longer when you suddenly took it away. Because, you know, there's some recommendations, you often get that from governing bodies saying, oh, you can maintain strength for this long, aerobic capacity for this one, you know, from the detraining literature. But is the more hybrid approach a better way to maintain strength when you go full endurance, because you've been developing endurance alongside your strength anyway?
I'd say, yeah, it's a personal thing. So I think from playing years of rugby and doing no longer conditioning sessions than 20 minutes, you're in the weights room for 90 minutes, you're smashing weights out. It's a very ego driven, you know, you're with all the lads, and it was a very cool environment. And I do think that I could just step away from the gym for a few months, maybe even up to half a year, and still be able to not bench press my complete one rep max, but be able to bench press maybe like within 10% of it, because I feel like all this training capacity that I've done over the years has given me the ability to be able to do that. So I think when you talk about young kids doing loads of different sports at school, whenever I used to chat to parents, I would say like, oh, should we start to do this, or, you know, start to take them away from that so they can play more rugby? And I would say, no, like, let them enjoy themselves. All these movement patterns, all these different energy systems, all this fun that they're about to entail, it's going to be so beneficial, like, later on down the line. When you talk about CrossFit, you get gymnasts who are just like incredible going into CrossFit, and then they're like, oh, what's this barbell movement that I'm about to go and do? And for some reason, within a couple of weeks of just a couple technical things, they're like one of the best lifters in the gym. And you go, why is that? Oh, because they just are able to move their body in some incredible places. And the strength that they've built, yes, in a different sport, has really transitioned into this hybrid approach.
That's an interesting point. So obviously you work a lot with kids within sport. You really promote people training like a generalist very early on, almost to the point where you're reaching your late teens or at least 16. And, you know, people should still be training as a generalist before they start to lean into one particular sport.
Yes, I would say that as long as it's something where if you're wanting to go and push to that elite level, then yeah, you will have to like go and specialize into it a lot more, because if sponsors start getting involved and stuff like that, it is a lot of pressure. So if you're trying to have this approach of being the everything person, it's going to be a bit more difficult. But that's where I think the hybrid approach can give you all the opportunities to go and do what you want, when you want, and however you want to do it. So if you want to go and niche down in one single sport and you have the enjoyment of doing that, then fair game, go for it. But I think what's happened with me is I just enjoy being able to pick up a rugby ball, and I'll still go over to the posts and do some kicking just for a bit of enjoyment. It's not exactly to go and do it and go compete against anyone. It's literally just to go do it for some completion. I go play golf with my younger brother. I really got into like movement patterns, especially when I started over at the CrossFit gym locally to me. The owner, a guy called Paul Witham, just loves movement and everything about it. And I would just listen like with ears like this, like literally tell me more, chat to him after, like, why would you do this warm-up before you go into this kind of lift? Why would you do that kind of warm-up before you go into hanging off the bar in a certain way for the gymnastic stuff? And he just loved it. So then I started thinking, when you play rugby, it's a compact sport. It was always about like, right, how stiff can you get? And then I started watching people like Angus Bradley on Instagram. I think he's opened up my eyes on like, right, you don't have to just be compressing and getting this compact spine. You can bend your spine, you can rotate and do all of that. So then I think, right, actually, if I go play golf, yes, I'm not the best golfer, but I'm getting some good rotation work in and some hip movement, and I have a bit of fun with my younger brother. So I just think that doing things like that, it just sets you up with less injury risk as well. If you're just like, the hybrid training way really does help with reducing injury if it's done correctly.
A lot of what you said reminded me of what I'm really looking forward to do with my son. He's only 14 months at the moment. The endless possibilities around exposing them to movement rather than going, oh, we need to do this. It's like just get them in environments where they're trying different things. And you can do that by playing a variety of different sports and going on different adventures. But it just reminded me of all the things I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for that to happen. Like I'm really looking forward to it. What do you think are the common mistakes hybrid athletes often make? Because you've coached a lot of hybrid athletes that have gone on to achieve great things within high rocks, triathlons, all of those types of things. What common mistakes do people make before going into hybrid? Because quite often people think hybrid, oh, that's loads of different things, and they just throw everything in the bucket, and it doesn't really work that way.
I think straight away, overtraining. Again, it really does depend about the person and what they've been doing leading into maybe taking me on as a coach, and they go, right, I'm going from CrossFit, I want to go and do a half Ironman, and I've not ran further than 5K, I've not swam since I was back at school. I go, okay, cool. Now, one of your sessions is probably going to be 20 minutes long in the swimming pool. That's all we're going to do, because if we do any more, you're just going to be practicing bad form, and it's just going to be playing on your mind. So I feel like there's a real fine line between overtraining and overreaching. And it's something that I struggled with a lot, because I train because it's good for my mental state. And I would just be like, I'm going to train in the morning, I'm going to train at lunchtime, I'm going to train in the evening. Then you forget, like, I'm working and you have all these things going on. I say to my clients, we're trained to perform at our worst, and professional athletes are trained to perform at their best. And I say this to them because I'm like, you're not going to have the best sleep because you've got a screaming child at maybe 2 a.m. occasionally, and you've got to go attend to that. So then when we've got a session the next day, that might be a 60-minute zone two, just to make things simple. And they're running what they think is their zone two pace, but they go, oh, why is my heart rate so much higher? And I'm like, well, probably because you've just gone into your training session, you know, after a really bad night's sleep, you might have just missed a morning meal because you're in a rush to try and get the kids to school. And you're not playing that into account as well. So it really depends from if you're training somebody who's in that kind of field of like, right, they've got a family, they've got work, they've got kids. You've got to understand them and their life. And I don't think there's one way of doing it. So for me, I think it's trying to figure out about who that person is, what's going on in their life, and have they actually got the capacity to do this kind of training. So it's about sometimes pulling them back. I have some other people, a couple girls that I've taken on, and they train like absolute savages, and they work from 8 till 6 p.m. They'll be up at the crack of dawn like 4 o'clock to go for a 20K run, and then they've got a CrossFit or weight session later on. And I'm thinking, how are you functioning? I just don't know how you're functioning. With people like that, I'm like, right, let's pull you back and train a bit more quality over the quantity and just see how you feel. So it's a bit of trial and error sometimes. But yeah, what I found with the most common mistakes is, yeah, really trying to find out where we're overreaching and overtraining.
Making me feel very lazy. If someone can get up at 4 to do a 20K run and then they've got a CrossFit session in the evening after 6 p.m, I'm like, oh, what's my excuse? And kind of makes sense because you talk about how you work with a very varied group of athletes. You know, you're not working only with elite athletes, you're working with people that do have other lifestyle commitments. And so your approach to each of them is going to be completely different, but it doesn't mean that they can't go on their own hybrid journey that's very appropriate to them. I'm going to interrupt here because I wanted to share with you the Progress Theory newsletter. If you want the latest information and recommendations on how to optimize your physical and mental performance, then subscribe to the free Progress Theory newsletter on Substack today. Click the link in the show notes and subscribe to get the best information on human performance sent straight to your email. Now, back to the podcast. Because you said that you took a number of your clients with you to the Highland Ultra, is that a common thing you do? You often train with your athletes leading to a particular event. Because of that, you've built a bit of a hybrid community where you're kind of working together towards it. And that is often a bit like the pat on the bum you said earlier that got you through the Highland Ultra. That community is actually what is the cherry on top of the cake, which takes you to that just that little bit further of what you can achieve based on all of the training that you do beforehand.
Oh yeah, exactly that. And I think I get a few people message me sometimes, and I think they see my Instagram and go, absolutely crazy what you're doing. And I say, well, it's not that crazy because I should be able to do that because I've trained to be able to do that. So my difficulty level is going to be very different to your difficulty level. Me going out and doing back-to-back marathons might be you going out and doing your first 10K run. It doesn't take anything away from you. So people say, oh, you only train elite level athletes. And I say, no. I want to train people who want elite level mindsets to get better. That's all I want. And I actually have people who are just starting out on their fitness journey. They're on more of a weight loss journey to start off with. And then I start planting the seed a little bit and say, how about maybe doing a HYROX one day? Or how about maybe doing a sprint triathlon or Olympic distance triathlon? And their first thoughts are like, no way, that's not going to happen. I keep planting the seed. Whenever I jump on for a call with them, I'm like, how much weight have you lost now? And they're like, oh, I'm another few pounds down. I'm like, okay, how long have we been training now? They're like, oh, it's been 6 months. I'm like, so you've now probably lost a stone and a half, yeah? I'm like, now you can run 5K. And they're like, oh yeah, imagine another 6 months, what that will do for you. And then they start going, I call it mountain goat training. I head over to the Malvern Hills, which is only about 60 minutes from me. I'm just on the outskirts of Birmingham. I just say to people, listen, we're going to park here and we're going to go at our own paces. We're just going to set a timer for 90 minutes to 2 hours. Just head in that direction, out and back. As soon as you see, let's say we're doing 90 minutes, as soon as you see the 45 minute mark, just turn back, head back to the car, because we're all going to finish at the same time. And then they start seeing themselves being able to get like maybe an extra 500 meters further. They might be able to get to that next hill. They might be able to actually stay with that person that they were like, oh, I was nowhere near you on my first attempt, but now I'm like sitting on your heels. So yeah, so it's been quite cool to build a community around swim, bike, run, hiking, weightlifting, and all that kind of jazz.
Do you have a particular event that is your favorite?
I think that can be very seasonal with someone like myself. I think when the HYROX did come around, they came and done the, it was like the PFT or something over in our gym. And no one had a clue what it was. And they came into the gym. I saw that there was running in it. And I know when there's a running workout in CrossFit, I'm usually like a little bit better than the people in my gym at the time. So I was like, oh, this might be a cool event to have a blast at. So they came over and they were saying, if you go under 17 minutes or 18, they're like, you should sign up to pro division and all this. I didn't even know what the pro division meant at the time. And I went and did it. And I think I got something like around 17 minutes. I think the next closest person was maybe 4 or 5 minutes after me. I am in a dominant gym of like more people who like the weightlifting side of things. So that was in my favor anyway. And they just came up and they said, you need to sign up to this. You need to sign up to this HYROX. And I just went, right, go on then, see what it's about. Sign up to the Birmingham one. I think it was the first one they did in Birmingham. I ended up winning my age group and they just announced at the end saying, you've just won a place to Las Vegas. When they say you've won a place to Las Vegas, you still have to pay for it. But I thought, I've not won anything in ages. I've not competed to this level in a long time. So then I was on a journey of like really wanting to push the HYROX. But what happened in some of that is I love doing things where you go the distance. For me, it's more of I gain mental clarity. I get answers that I'm looking for. And I think some people maybe see these people like more recently, Russ Cook, the hardest geezer running the length of Africa. And they might say, oh, he's running away from something. Right now, I'm thinking, no, he's not. He's actually running towards something. He's looking for answers. He's trying to unlock more potential. You saying that he's running away from something maybe has brought out a bit of an insecurity there. And it's like, why don't you look at it in a way of go run towards something, go run towards that fear, that scare factor, and see what you can unlock. So for me, the HYROX I do want to continue doing, but I've got some cool endurance events, maybe some potential first time events that things people haven't done before, because it excites me. I get so much excitement from it. So yeah, so there's nothing being announced just yet, but a few conversations having over the next couple of weeks with different charities to see what we can do. And yeah, just go from there really. So I don't enjoy the ultra, the endurance. I enjoy the mental clarity I get from it.
That's really interesting. And Does that mean whenever you choose a new challenge, quite often you will avoid choosing something you've done before so you can measure against what you've done previously? You choose something which is different because ultimately that will create a new fear, which you can then run towards, which then will improve mental clarity. And that's ultimately the main goal. That's what you want to try and achieve. So you need something new with each challenge to achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like as soon as you become good at something, that hardship that you were looking for, it's not there anymore. So more recently, I've got back into the open water swimming. I've got a ultra swim coming up. There's nothing about me that wants to jump into 11 degrees water and go and do 30 minutes of swimming. But the feeling I get after it is euphoric. It's absolutely incredible. I feel like I've achieved something that I didn't want to do. And that's a level of hardship that I don't think resilience and hardship is just given. It's you have to go and actually take it and grab the bull by the horns and go for a ride and go for a spin. But I say to my guys, you can always do it once. Doing it once is easy. If you want to continue pushing your limits, you do have to continue picking things that do scare you.
Aside from picking things that scare you, do you do any sort of mindset work with any of your athletes? Because that seems like a real central theme to the success that you've had with your hybrid athletes.
Yeah, so I get my guys onto, we have group calls and things like that. We actually had Chris come on and talk about ultra running, Chris King, who did a really cool chat. I've had some military guys come on who, I know a few boys in the Royal Marines to come and talk about like their experiences about like, I called it the military mindset. I had a therapist come on and have a chat about like the fear of failure. And I wanted to take more of this all-round approach to performance, and I split it into three pillars with my lot, and I say it's your three P's, your personal, your physical, and your professional. If you can try and get all of those aligned in the right place, then you're going to be performing to a much higher level, because I know when I'm performing well personally, in my personal social life and having fun, having a laugh, having a giggle, I go into my physical stuff like in a much better mindset of wanting to go and do a session. So I was reading a book called Endure by Alex Hutchinson, and he spoke about being able to push past your threshold. And they did a test on two different groups, and he was talking about it in this book. And group A went and did this fitness test, and group B did the same fitness test. But just before they went into it, they had group A do like an hour's worth of high frequency computer tasks, like really mentally straining computer tasks before they went into this fitness test. And then with group B, what they did was they got them watching like an hour's worth of easygoing, mellow documentaries, nothing crazy, and then went into the same fitness test. And what they found was group A weren't able to push themselves past that threshold point as much as group B were. And he put it down to when you go into something with a much better mindset, you are able to actually, where you perceive, where you think your threshold is, you're able to just put it a few steps ahead and be able to push yourself a little bit more. Because I think we all know when you do an interval session or something, like I did one this morning and I was saying to the guys, you've got 1%. Just ask for one more percent. That's literally it. And we've all got that. And then once you get that one more percent, you go, well, just one more percent. And it's literally just a matter of inches. And before you know it, you start building this, like, it's the snowball effect, right? And you build this little snowball and you just start rolling it and just start getting a bit of momentum. I do really think like some of the things that we can do as humans, the potential is absolutely crazy. And we're already seeing it with people doing some incredible challenges and ultras, some things that have never been done before. Even in the strength world as well, I think the potential is absolutely crazy if you have the right mindset towards it. So yeah, it is something I really do focus on with my guys. And it's usually the kind of talks we have when we don't really talk about the programming. Most people come on and they think, oh, I'm buying into a training program. And I say, this is a coaching program. I could give you any training program. Like, you could find this stuff on Google, to be honest. But this is coaching you to go into this training program with the right attitude.
That is wicked to hear. And I think so important, something that gets lost, especially with the increased number of people that are going towards online coaching, But online coaching doesn't mean you have to take away the coaching part. Like, you've clearly built a really good community, and that's the key thing that provides adherence and motivation and all of that. It's really cool to see, and I think it's a model that many people that may be coaches that are listening to this may want to learn a bit from if they're not doing that themselves. I want to ask what the next challenge is, but it sounds like that you've got a few conversations happening, but not ready to reveal anything yet because nothing's been decided.
I've got some that are in, which I can share with you. So like you said, yeah, I've got some conversations that need to be had, need to see if it's achievable and stuff like that. Some things that you're like, oh, can I come back from this? Is it going to put me in a position where injury is an option? So, but yeah, I've got over in June, I'm heading up to Lake Windermere with quite a few of my clients. We're doing the Great North Swim as part of a charity gig for the OMF charity, which is the Oscar Montgomery Environmental Foundation, a great charity that looks after like all things environment. I actually coach a mother who is also coming over with us. Unfortunately, Oscar lost his life, and this was something he was really passionate about, is all things environment. And I actually used to coach him in rugby. So it's a real sweet thing that we're doing. Mm. There's a big team of us heading over there. On the Friday, I've got the 10K swim with a couple of the other guys that I swim with in the morning. On the Saturday, I have the run, swim, which is, I think, 50K in total. And I'm doing that with one of my pals who's actually this year signed up to his first Ironman, which he's doing in Copenhagen. So he's wanting to get involved with that. And then at the end of June, I've got the Yorkshire Beast Challenge, which I heard from a mate of mine who is an incredible coach as well. And I'll shout him out, a guy called Tom Heath, Built to Perform, where I've learned a lot of my mental side of things as well with how I actually attack my own life and my own athletic stuff. He did this Yorkshire Beast Challenge after only cycling 6 months on his bike. And he also went on later on down the line, did the Ironman. And he said this was, for him, harder than the Ironman. So I thought, I want to give this a crack. So it's 200 miles over in Yorkshire with 6,000 meters elevation. I'm not much of a biker. So I was thinking, right, if I have somebody who wants to get into biking, I've done the hours, I've had the experience of putting the miles in. So looking forward to that. I think there's a couple of my other clients that might do it's called the Mini Beast, which is not mini at all. It's still 100 miles of crazy hills in Yorkshire. And then I've got the High Rocks over in Birmingham in my hometown. So wanting to try and put in a good performance there. And I'm sure there's probably going to be some other events being put in at some point as well, with some other big ones on the horizon.
Sounds like a busy year already and a very, very nice mix. Certainly we'll put the charity link in the show notes as well. Oh, that's amazing what you're doing. I know you said you want to improve in your High Rocks performance. Where do you think you need to improve the most? Is it the running or is it more the stations?
I've done about eight or 10 of the High Rocks now. And I think six to eight of them have been doing the men's pro division. And then I've done two as a mixed pairs. The one I'm sort of chasing after is the men's pro. And every time I've done it, it's just been something different. So I went and completed the Weymouth Half Ironman and was in the best running shape I've been in for a very long time. And I thought, I'm going to go into this High Rocks now, like, and smash it. And I got to the sleds and I was thinking, Jesus Christ, where's my, like, I couldn't believe how much I maintained strength, but I got my running so good that I just forgot about, oh my God, I've maybe been 30 seconds to 60 seconds slower on the sleds. But in a men's pro division, that is huge, like losing that much time. I remember doing it and all the guys I was stuck with, they were gone. And I thought that I'm not getting back in this race. I was done. So I then was thinking, right, I need to work on the strength. And before you know it, because of my rugby background and the CrossFit stuff, my strength came back up quite quickly. I do have to just work on all of this. And I didn't actually go too specific into one thing. I knew I had to get faster at running. So on the build up to Glasgow more recently, I had a 6 week real like intense training block. I spoke to my coach Dan and I said some of the times that I wanted to run in like 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. Just before that 6 week training block, I went and ran a 1:21 half marathon, which gave me so much confidence that I was like, okay, The running is there. I've got the mileage because it's a half marathon. I'm thinking, right, I just need to get faster now. I just need to keep that speed. I didn't really do too much HYROX specific training. It was actually more individual to, right, go do your running, go do your strength training, and then just throw in once a week the compromised running that everyone talks about. Because if you can only run a 4 minute pace without the compromised running, and then you're expecting to run a 4 minute pace in the HYROX, it's not going to happen. You're going to end up running like a 4:45 or a 5 minute. So then it was like, right, really go into some of these interval training sessions, some of the track sessions, and go to paces that are so uncomfortable. And there were sessions that I didn't complete because I just couldn't do it. But what that taught me was this like speed that I just hadn't done for so long. And what that managed to do was bring up my HYROX, I call it my cruising speed. My speed just got so much quicker. So then my cruising speed just got quicker. And that's how I ended up. I ran 61 and a half minutes in the men's pro over in Glasgow, which I was happy for, but I was trying to go sub the hour, which I think I'm still yet to do that. I don't think that's going to be done for me on a UK course if I'm doing a lot of these other events, because as we were chatting before, the UK courses are getting quite busy and you end up weaving in and out, and they're trying to really more accommodate for the masses. So I think there'll probably be a time where I head somewhere over to Europe and probably not tell anyone and just try and just tick that sub hour off the list.
Yeah, that sounds wicked. And what you say regarding training makes so much sense. Like, people are so focused around making training to be some form of derivative of what the event actually is. If you've structured your training quite well and have more like a general prepared phase and specific phase, because when you ramp up the intensity, start doing simulations and all of that, really, like beforehand, kind of what you were talking about is you're working on the individual bits, and through that you're probably improving any respiratory or cardiovascular limitations you may have, and then all of a sudden you've just got a better physical preparedness to then suddenly deal with compromised running. And it's that last bit which is then enabling you to deal with that. I'll be looking out to see that sub hour. I can imagine, yeah, I can see why you're not going to tell anyone and then just like announce it on social media, like big events, sub hour HYROX. I mean, that is a really cool thing to be able to shout out about.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And I don't think it's meaning I'm going to go too specific and just cancel all the swim, biking and running and all the other stuff I want to go and do. Yeah, it's kind of almost like my own little journey and seeing like, right, can I keep up all the swimming, the biking and like the trail running and the ultras and still go and smash out a fast HYROX time? I guess, yeah, we'll find out.
No, that's absolutely wicked. I can't wait to see the journey continue. Ollie, that's amazing. Where can people reach you, either to ask more about coaching or your social media?
Probably the best place is through Instagram, Russell Performance Training. Yeah, drop me a message on there. Happy to chat and hopefully share my experiences and hopefully, yeah, help people on their own fitness journey.
Nah, cool. And everyone listening, I definitely recommend it, particularly that community and that mindset type of training. I say training, it's more about just being involved. And I think that it's really cool to see and wish I had a network just like that. So get involved, and I'll put all of this information in the show notes for you to look into. So Ollie, thank you so much.
No, Phil, thanks very much. It was, absolute pleasure.
Brilliant, mate.
Before we wrap up, I want to give a shout out and my thanks to my production partner, Cult Media. If you are thinking of launching a podcast or want to grow your audience, head to www.cult.media, that's cult with a K, to get started today.